And this morning's sermon is based on the gospel reading. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, as we come before you this morning, so let us hear your call to us to go forth in word and deed and share your kingdom with a world that is so burdened. In your precious name we pray. Amen. One of my favourite Christian songs or hymns is the one, Here I Am, Lord, by Dan Shutey. You know where the one with the chorus that goes, Here I am, Lord, is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. When Dan Shutey was 31 years old and a Jesuit studying theology at Berkeley University, a friend asked him to write a song for an upcoming diaconate ordination mass. That was on a Wednesday night, and the ordination was on Saturday. So Shutey often used scripture as the basis for his songs. So he thought about the idea of the ordination mass, and he turned to the stories of the prophets like Jeremiah, who asked God to give him the right words to say. And Dan Shutey said, in all these stories, all of those people God was calling to be prophets have expressed in one way or another their humanness or their self-doubt. So when he finished the song, he sought feedback from the St. Louis Jesuits, who was a music group of young Jesuit songwriters at the time. They gave him some feedback, and as a result, he changed one of the original chorus of Here I Am, Lord, Here I Stand, Lord, to Here I Am, Lord, Is It I, Lord? All said and done, it just took Shutey 2 days to write that hymn that many of us know and love. Shutey said that he doesn't remember much about the ordination that night. He was so nervous. But people were praising his song at the end of the night, which was wonderful for him. Here I Am, Lord, is a song about mission. Mission, you know, going out and sharing the good news, the gospel. That topic in the church that is the least favourite next to money. Maybe a better chorus of Shutey's song would be, Here I am, Lord. Oh, no, not me, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I can't go, Lord. It's too hard, Lord. I won't tell your people of your heart. I know that when I preach a sermon on doing mission, on sharing the gospel, that probably by the end of the sermon, about 60% of the people will feel guilty. 39% will feel mildly guilty because they've tuned out halfway through, and even though they're looking straight ahead, they're thinking about this afternoon's activities. And 1% won't feel guilty at all because their hearing aids are playing up and they haven't heard a word I've said. But today we're going to examine Matthew's gospel reading to look once again at the gospel call and mission and what it means for us today to participate with Jesus in his ongoing missionary work today. Now, last week when we looked at the first 34 verses of Matthew chapter 9, we saw that they were littered with stories about Jesus healing individual people in his hometown of Capernaum. In verse 35 of our text today, we find that Jesus is on the move. He's going through the towns and villages of Galilee. Galilee was a province north of Jerusalem and Judah. It was where Nazareth was. It was Jesus' home state, if you like to use an analogy that we're all familiar with. And he was comfortable there because he could do his ministry without being under the watchful eye of the Romans who ruled harshly in the south. Matthew tells us that as Jesus went through the towns and villages of Galilee, he taught in the synagogues. In other words, it was a Jewish mission. He went to the Jewish worship centers, and there he did his ministry. And what did he do there? Matthew tells us. He preached the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease and sickness. Jesus' ministry was one of words and deeds. Words that were good news and gave people strength and hope, and deeds of mercy that brought people healing and freedom. Remember, we heard last week that Jesus said that God said, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." So Jesus did these acts of mercy. Now, the acts of the kingdom of God, or the ministry of the kingdom of God, is what Jesus does here. He reveals his kingship. And his is a kingship and a kingdom that turns the kingdom of this world upside down. As his kingdom comes to this earth, he turns what is of the old, fallen, broken order of this world upside down, and he repairs it and shows us in what he does that this is a foretaste of the new creation that is to come. Now, this kind of ministry is attractive. People come from all around to participate in it. Matthew writes that when Jesus saw the large number of people coming to him, he had compassion on them. Now, the Greek word for compassion refers to a deep emotional feeling located, of all places, in the bowels of one's humanity. In the Gospels, we find that Jesus was compassionate in many situations. When he saw the sick, the blind, the lame, those who were hungry, those who had died, and those who were grieving for them. In this particular case, Jesus had compassion on the people because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, a flock of sheep is the standard picture for the people of God, Israel, in the Old Testament. And the shepherd is their king protector. The people of God are likened here to a flock of sheep that have been torn by wild animals, that have been harassed by insects, running madly around through scrubby bush, and finally lay exhausted on the ground. The reality is that Jesus saw a people who were badly neglected by their spiritual leaders, who promoted a harsh, legalistic Jewish religion, and they were oppressed by their foreign leaders, the Romans. He saw a people also suffering under the weight of sickness and demonic possession. So in these first two verses of our text, we see that mission begins in the heart of Jesus, literally in the bowels of Jesus, in the deepest, strongest sense of the emotion of compassion. A heart for mission begins with a heart of compassion. Mission will only ever seem like an impossible task and a guilt-producing burden unless it begins in the compassionate heart of Jesus. Unless it begins with Jesus' heart for mission becoming our heart for mission. For compassion motivated Jesus to do something about the burdens of people, the religious, political, physical, and demonic burdens the people of Israel were carrying. The kingdom of which he was king of, the kingdom of God, could turn all of these twisted, distorted structures of the world upside down. Jesus had something better to give. And as Christians, we have something better to give to those of our nation, our state, our community, than which the world could give. There's nothing that the world can give people like that is like the healing, help, and hope that is the love of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. To go forth in mission then means to be confident in the one whom you are representing. In mission, we represent King Jesus and his kingdom, the kingdom of God. And if we are ashamed of the gospel or lack belief in its power, we'll be ineffective in mission. Just think of an army where the soldiers don't believe that the cause they represent is greater than the enemy's cause. Just imagine the strength of the battle if they don't believe in what they're fighting for. In mission, we fight like soldiers as members of the kingdom of God to release people burdened under the powers of this world. And in this world today, there are still many people who are like those Israelites, harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They're struggling under the weight of financial burden, relationship burden, sickness burden, employment burden, business burden, addiction burden, mental burden, loneliness burden, and so we could add many, many more burdens to that list. Many have tried to get various and many ways to get out from underneath those burdens, but they can't. Now, Jesus changes the imagery of the text. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This was still certainly true in Jesus' day, and it is still true in ours today. Just Jesus told this parable to all the disciples, not just to the 12. There are a lot more following Jesus than just the 12 at this time. And he told them all to pray to the Lord of the harvest. And from all of them, he called the 12 to be his inner disciples, his special followers, who would be the ones to whom he would download all that they needed to know from him. They would become, as Matthew writes, his apostles, from the Greek word apostello, meaning to send. He sends them out with authority, and it was his own authority. It was authority to do the ministry he was doing. His authority would enable them to continue to do the work that he did effectively. Their mission arises from the compassionate heart of Christ. They're able to drive out demons and heal every disease and sickness, but their authority is not to have authority ultimately over sickness and disease, but actually they have the authority to love. And that's how it manifests itself. Jesus told the disciples to pray, and they all prayed, and 12 of them became the answer to their own prayer. Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. They were a motley crew. They included fishermen, a tax collector, and a religious fanatic. Matthew was one who was in the employ of the Roman government, and Simon was in revolt against it. And of course, one of them turns out to be a traitor in the end. Ordinary blokes, ordinary people, no priests, theologians, or scholars among them. Jesus calls to himself 12 ordinary blokes, among whom some were not so savoury. And if he can use people like that for his mission, he can use people like you. Ordinary, everyday people. You don't need a theological degree like me or a title like mine to participate in the mission of Jesus. Now, the mission of Jesus is the mission of the kingdom of God moving out over the earth. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. At this stage of Jesus' ministry and the overall plan of salvation, he sent his disciples only to Israel, to the lost sheep of Israel, those who were harassed and helpless. But after Jesus rose from the dead at the end of Matthew's gospel, we see that the mission field expands to include all nations, all the non-Jews, the Gentiles. But for now, Jesus gave his apostles these instructions: as you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So, how's your ministry of healing the sick, raising the dead, and exorcism going? What? None of you have done this? You haven't raised anybody from the dead recently, or healed any sick, or drove out demons? Goodness me, what's the matter with you? Well, I must admit I haven't either. What's the matter with me? Jesus told his disciples that they were to preach this message as they went: the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew refers to the kingdom of God as the kingdom of heaven because this was more palatable in the ears of his Jewish hearers. In preaching the kingdom of heaven, the disciples are preaching the kingdom of God. And if the kingdom of God has come near, it means that the kingdom of God is on its way. The kingdom that turns this old, sinful, broken world order upside down, on its head. And the signs of the kingdom that the apostles were to demonstrate were that the sick were healed, the dead were raised, the lepers were cleansed, and the demons driven out. If the kingdom of heaven was near, it means that the king of the kingdom of heaven was near. And he was. His name is Jesus. And he came to turn the whole world on its head by dying on the cross and rising again 3 days later, so that life would have the victory and not death in the lives of all people. So how do we share in this mission of Jesus today? Well, it's by doing what he did and by doing what the disciples did, by word and deed. By sharing the message of the kingdom of God, that God reigns, and he wants to reign in the hearts of all people. We all need to be ruled by the wisdom, the peace, and the sanity of God and his ways. We all need to receive the mercy, healing, and freedom that comes to us by the gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection. Freely we have received, so freely we give. And in doing so, we bring peace, freedom, and wholeness to those weighed down by the brokenness of sin in whatever form it is oppressing them. We might not raise the dead or heal the sick or drive out demons, but what word, what deed do we bring people struggling under burdens? Well, as the apostles went, Jesus gave the disciples the authority to love. He gave them what they needed in order to bring to bear in the hearts of lives weighed down by their burdens healing, help, hope, mercy, and freedom. And so as we go, Jesus will do the same for us. Our trust is in him as he continues to do his mission through us as we make ourselves available to him. Well, now that you've heard my sermon today, I don't know if it's going to make any difference in your attitude towards mission. I don't know if right now you're feeling real guilty and saying, oh no, not me, Lord. It was a good sermon, but I'm not going to do it. Or if it's given you the courage to have a crack at the gospel call to mission and take up our focus of every member a missionary. Jesus' call to us still is today is to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. And in saying that, I want to conclude with the theme of my sermon today, which is rather unusual to give it at the end instead of the beginning, but are you an answer to prayer?